So this is Michelle Anderson with North of Bangor, and I'm here today with Les Otten, who's got an exploratory committee to entertain the notion of running for governor in the state of Maine. Hi, Les, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you today?
I'm good. Well, can you tell me a little bit about yourself, maybe your qualifications, why you want to run, that sort of thing?
Well, I came to Maine in 1972. And the first 10 years of my work life in Maine, I had every job, from cleaning the bathrooms to welding pipes, fixing ski lifts, and built a business career, built one of Maine's finest winter tourist opportunities, Sunday River in Maine, essentially from scratch, starting with 4 employees and ending up with about 1,200. So I understand the tourism industry. I also understand business and development, and philanthropically, while I was building business, I was very active in Maine Handicap Skiing, founding that, Jeremiah Cromwell Center for Disabilities Awareness. I worked as the initial chair of something called the Western Mountains Alliance, which some folks know about. It was basically there to promote growth in industry and tourism and the woods industry in Western Maine. Was part of something called the Economic Environmental Council of Maine right after that, chaired that with Chuck Chinquette as my co-chair about 15 to 20 years ago to promote the idea that our woods forest industry and our paper mills were an important part of the infrastructure and the eco-structure of the state of Maine, and that the environmental community and the paper industry needed to work together. And I think we were successful in some of our goals there. I also had the privilege of being the president of the Portland Museum of Art when we were losing about $250,000 a year, and took that institution from a history of negative budgets and negative performance to a string of positive budgets about 15 years in length now. So I've done a lot both in business but also with a lot of Maine's institutions on the social side in the last, since 1972, it's that 37 years. Kids are born in Rumford, Maine, home of Ed Muskie. We won't hold that against Rumford. I think they're pretty well divided between Republican and Democrat over there. And my daughter went to Bates for a while. I had nephews and nieces that I raised that went to school in Maine. Two went to the University of Maine system, and one went to through the Voc Tech system. So I've seen our institutions and education from the inside and from the outside, and participated in them as well. So a little bit about who I am.
I know that you've heard about all the talk about two Maines, and I wanted to just get your input on that. What is it that you think about that whole concept?
I really don't think there's two Maines. There's one Maine. It's a very diverse community, but I think it shares a lot of the same values. Before we started this interview, we were talking about the fact that I have some pretty good bear hunting property of my own in Riley, Maine, which is part of the UT. And that's located a long way from Fort Kent. But the issues there, and I'm, 25 miles from Norway and just 60 miles from Portland, the issues there are the same. That's my backyard. That's where I grew up, my family. And I don't see the difference. There are differences in Maine. There are just as many poor people who need a job and a good opportunity, a good career in southern Maine as there are in northern Maine. There's more things that I see that unify us than divide us. So I see the same needs throughout Maine. Clearly, everybody needs the same opportunities.
Do you have any ideas about the club? Do you understand about the club and what that's about, LURC, and what that's about?
Well, having dealt with LURC numerous times in my life, permitting, and being involved in trying to find solutions for the Pump Creek dilemma, actually acted as an informal negotiator between Plum Creek, NRCM, and Audubon about 18 months ago, try to help come to an agreement. I understand well. Steve White, who was chairman of LURC for a long time, was nominated by Jock McKernan, and while Steve and I haven't agreed on every issue, as a friend and a neighbor, I've been watching and have been carefully monitoring in my own mind the usefulness of LURC and what we need to do in the state of Maine. Again, it's one Maine, and again, I prefer less government and less regulation. I prefer good regulation rather than a lot of regulation. And I think there's a way of improving LURC's image and improving their stand in the state of Maine going forward. But I need to learn a lot more about what everybody in Maine thinks about how the unorganized territories should be run. Should they be changed to run more like counties? Should they continue to be run the way they are? Should they have the opportunity to organize and become townships? Should they be reviewed by DEP alone for their environmental policies? Should the policies be the same? These are questions I think that I'm going to be listening to for the next 3 months from the people that I meet to understand what is actually the best course for us as far as our unorganized territories are concerned.
What do you see as the, let's say, the top three priorities if you're governor of the state of Maine?
Do you want these in alphabetical order?
Any order you want.
Okay, they all start with J. Uh-huh. It's jobs, jobs, and jobs.
Wonderful. What do you plan to do about that?
Well, let's start with the fact that I don't think Maine has done everything that it could do to promote itself or its products. We have perhaps the largest crop of lobster growing this year. Part of that's because stripers have been down and lobster, one of their favorite foods is baby lobster. There are other, obviously, oceanographic conditions that are changing the seabed that are, at this point in time, are adding to the crop. There's a worldwide recession, and somehow we've decided that that's what's responsible for our lobster industry not achieving a good price and being able to sell their products. I disagree. I think we have much more that we can do to promote that industry and to promote the value of a Maine lobster on a world basis. I think we have to do that. The tourist industry, which provides 177,000 direct and indirect jobs in the state of Maine, is underpromoted. In Pennsylvania, a little area called the Poconos somehow finds a way to spend twice as much as the entire state of Maine does in promoting their tourism industry. Our paper industry is suffering under, not suffering, but is subject to laws and rules and regulations that were written in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. We don't want an industry that pollutes, but we want an industry that has the opportunity to thrive and grow in Maine. I'd like new paper machines to be made in Maine. I'd like Maine to become a point at which we have greater export of products and a higher use of our forest products industry. Our energy industry in Maine is almost non-existent. We have the opportunity to become energy independent in Maine. Yes, we make some electricity, but the wind projects that are being offered right now show great promise for Maine. We have a tremendous amount of geothermal activity that's available for heat. We grow 10% more trees in Maine than we currently harvest, which means every year the size and the bulk of our forest is growing at 10% more than we're cutting. That's great news because wood is a great fuel when refined into wood pellets or cellulosic ethanol. We've got the University of Maine has a wood lab that everyone should become familiar with. We need to promote the use of that wood. I would have loved to have seen us, rather than spend $30 or $40 million putting oil and tar back on 295, I would have rather seen us rebuild bridges in the state of Maine with products that have been engineered that come out of the University of Maine system for bridges and replace our failing infrastructure. There's opportunity everywhere you turn around. There's more fiber optic per person in the state of Maine than most states in the United States. We've got the ability to locate high-tech businesses that are basically filled with engineers and designers in many places in the state of Maine efficiently, with uplink satellite and communication systems that are available today, and the recreational benefits there are to families that come here. We should be stealing business from other parts of the United States and bringing it to Maine. But one of the things that's in our way is a perception and a reality that our tax system is regressive. And we need enough tax reform in Maine so that we can reach out and say, come to Maine, bring your business to Maine, and we want you to be here, and we're not going to tax you out of existence. At the same time, we have to be cognizant of the fact that anything that we offer to somebody outside of the state of Maine, we need to offer to the people that are inside the state of Maine. So it's great to create pine tree zones for people from away to come in, but what about the guy that's already here who needs to be able to succeed, who's already employing people? The burden of tax needs to be divided evenly. You can't shift the deck chairs from time to time and tax one group and not tax another group. We just spent $600 to $700 million of one-time money that was supposed to be stimulus to balance state budgets. That's not stimulus. That's just continuing to spend on the same path. And the next individual, man or woman, that becomes governor of the state of Maine, 18 months from now, is going to be stuck with a probable budget deficit at least $1.4 billion. An unfunded current pension payment of somewhere around $600 million that they have to deal with. Plus, in 2019, it looks like there's between $3 billion. Right? These should be billion numbers, I'm saying. $1.4 billion and $600 million. There's another $3 billion worth of theoretical unfunded pension liability that's going to be in front of us. So we need to take Maine and our government and size it to the size of our income. Just like every individual in the state of Maine, when your income goes down, you got to cut something out. You may not want to, but you've got to cut something out. And I need to know what Mainers think needs to be cut. We need to be unified. When we make a decision in 18 months about how we're going to trim the state's budget, we need to agree on how we're going to do that. And at the same time that we're going to cut the budget, we need leadership and a vision that's going to say we're going to build the revenue of the state of Maine so that we work our way out of this problem. And then when that happy day comes and there's a surplus of tax revenue, we can either decide to reduce taxes or we can do things that are good for the people of the state of Maine that need to be done that have been overlooked. But the first order of business is to get our household budget inside the state of Maine back in line. We should have used more of that $600 million to create new jobs that would create new opportunity, that would be used to promote new technologies in Maine, new energy in Maine, alternative energy, alternative ideas inside the state of Maine, rather than just continue to fund government as it was. So we don't gain from that.
So I understand that you want the input of the people of Maine before you come up with ideas, really solid ideas of what you want to do, but what would you suggest we trim?
Well, let's start with the fact that we have to trim everything so that we can, you know, be realistic about this. I don't think it's fair at this point to ask specifically what you trim. It's the fact that we all have to agree that we have to trim. The first question is, we've got $2 billion that we're going to be missing in 18 months. So, okay, that's the question. Now, my question to you is, what are you comfortable trimming? Because I work for you. My job is to listen to what you agree. I can tell you what the problem is. I can tell you what the vision is for growing the state of Maine. But when it comes to living within our budget, everybody has the opportunity and should have the opportunity in the next 18 months to verbalize what they think should be adjusted in state government to get our spending under control so that we can balance our budget and not have to wake up every morning and wonder what we're going to have to cut today.
Well, the people that I know, my neighbors, all have two jobs. Some of them have three jobs. Their wife works, they work, everybody's working. Nobody really has time to look into the issues. Well, what would you propose we do about the fact that our voters just don't have time to go to hearings, to go to meetings, to make the phone calls, to figure out what's really going on?
I'm not just saying that you don't give the electorate credit. I give the electorate a lot of credit. Okay. I think that the number one thing that's concerning Mainers right now is keeping their jobs, educating their children, heating their homes, and having a future. Okay? So to say that people don't have an idea of what they want to have government cut, I need to hear that loudly. And that needs to be a resounding sound.
And how do we get that message to you? In call? Referendum? Letters?
Well, you're welcome to write me on my website. You know, there's a long time between now and the election where there's a lot of hands to shake in the next 16 months to hear what people have to say. And I'm not saying that I don't have ideas right now of what we should do. I mean, I've been an idea guy. I took a company that, you know, was doing 500 people a day and grew it to the point it was doing 12,000 people a day. I've been a good marketer. I've been able to bring people into the state of Maine in record numbers in the tourism industry. I've been able to sell and promote. I understand that. I also understand that there's a lot of people that are my age. I turned 60 a couple of weeks ago, that are willing to put their time and energy into Maine, that want to work for government, who are willing to put their time, who aren't interested in the job of governor, and aren't going to spend 4 to 8 years in Augusta with the next step being the governor's job, who are saying, look, I'm 50, 60 years old, I've got a lot of horsepower left in the tank, I want to do something for the state of Maine, and I want to work for it. And I believe that that's the combination that we need going forward to ensure that Maine has a clean, productive, clear future and a path to follow. So we do those things as a group. I don't do them alone. I do them with your help. I do them with the help of people that are listening to this. And I do them with the help of a group of people who are really concerned about building Maine for the future.
That concludes the first half of my talk with Mr. Otten. Next week, we'll upload the second half. Thanks for listening to us up here, north of Bangor.